بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله the Jamiat Fatwa Department on a daily basis receives approximately 30 to 50 queries a day and these queries range from across the board so youngsters the elderly the professionals there's everyone that has concerns and everyone that requires an answer it might be related to a person's wudu it might be related to a person's ghusl it might be related to his salah it might be related to his business transaction it might be a marital question in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba were not shy in asking the questions at times Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all the answers and at time he had to wait for revelation he had to wait for the answers now the ulama the scholars will try their best to answer the questions posed if research is required they will open the books they will research and they will refer back to you like in any other field of work so inshallah this podium is more focused on the youth our elderly can ask their questions later on through the different channels inshallah but it is important to give the opportunity to the youth to ask the questions so we have a few questions before we take questions from the floor the first question is at what age is a child accountable for their actions now a child is born a child is immature is a child answerable for their salah is the child answerable for their zakat etc no up till the age of puberty the child is not accountable for it but the parents have to instill tarbiyah they have to instill this desire to perform the salah now if the child starts to perform salah at the age of puberty how difficult will it be for the child to attend the masjid how difficult will it be for the child to perform salah that is why at an early age the child is reared in a manner and brought up in a manner to perform salah in the masjid with jamaat etc so the age of puberty is the age of accountability so up till that age the child will not be accountable this applies to the males this applies to the females now the question is what is the actual age or the actual time of puberty so firstly the ulama determine the age of accountability for a male when a male matures he matures by two ways firstly the first is physical maturity and the second is maturity by age so physical maturity refers to the child experiencing ihtilam or a wet dream or the child being able to marry and have children if before the age of 15 this is possible and this can happen the child will be regarded to be mature if this is not possible before the age of 15 then at the age of 15 or when he turns 15 now when we talk of 15 we're not talking 15 English calendar we're talking 15 Islamic calendar many times it's difficult to even remember the Islamic date you must make an effort to keep a record of the Islamic date so you take the Islamic date into consideration when the child when the boy turns 15 he is accountable in terms of a female in terms of a girl what determines her puberty what determines her age of bulugh number 1 it is by experiencing hayd or menses or she is in a position of being married and becoming a mother that is the time where she will be accountable for her actions this of course also prior to the age of 15 if none of these two are prevalent and none of these two occur then on the at the age of 15 she will automatically be regarded as a mature person so two ways of maturity physical maturity or maturity by age now why is it so important to identify the age of puberty number 1 salah becomes compulsory so a lot of the time we find we receive calls at the jamiat a man realization hit him at the age of 30 at the age of 40 I have to perform salah now he wasn't very concerned of his salah there was negligence etc Now, where does he start counting from? He starts counting from the age of puberty. From that age of 15, etc., upwards, those years of salah will have to be made up if he missed it, if he was not punctual on it. At the same time, he'll have to record it in his Islamic will. In his will, he will record the numbers of salah he's missed. He'll contact the ulama and he'll find out the values of it, and he can put the values in the will at the same time. The same with the female. Some time ago, we received a case at our Jamiat offices. A brother came to fill in his will, sign his Islamic will. So when he saw the section where the man needs to sign and put his missed salahs in, record his missed salahs, so we asked him, how many salahs you've missed? So he says, I haven't been reading salah for the last 40 years. So we did the calculation, and it came up to 1.5, 1.6 million rands. So he told us, you know what, this is not even the value of what I own or whatever I own. So he was advised that he must make up his salahs. Very important, accountability. From that age onwards, the person is accountable, the child is accountable. Before that, the child can make excuses, etc. But then the parents will have to push the child to come to the masjid and perform salah, etc. So the age of accountability is 15 years if none of these two aspects occur. Okay, the one question that has come in is e-box permissible? Is e-box permissible? The Jamiat head, or the head of the fatwa department, is our beloved Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sahab. And we have opted for the same view that he has opted for. In that, e-box is permissible. It is regarded as a gift from the company to the subscriber. It is counted as an offering from the company to the subscriber. So e-box is permissible in that regard. Other question received is calamari permissible for the Hanafi school of thought, the Hanafi madhab? Now understand, in terms of the Hanafi madhab, anything permissible from the sea has to be a fish. So calamari does not fall under that category, and hence that will not be permissible for a Hanafi to eat. Now let us not take extremes here. Does it prohibit a halal restaurant from selling calamari? No. Why? Because it is permissible according to the other schools of thought. So a Shafi comes from Cape Town, and a Shafi eats at the restaurant and partakes of calamari. That's not an issue for them. But as followers of the Hanafi madhab and school of thought, we will not partake of it. Okay, I think we've answered a few questions that were received. Any questions from the floor? Any questions from our youngsters from the floor? One question received here is, when taking out interest that's received on a savings account, do you have to physically withdraw the money from the account, or can you just give it out? Example, from money on hand. Okay, firstly, we live in a country, in an environment where alternatives are available. Whether it's the ideal alternative or not, that's a different matter. But alternatives are available. So if a person has an account, in this case a savings account, then it must be an account where it does not accrue interest. That account must not accrue interest. So look for an account, look for an alternative where you open the account and there's no, it does not accrue any interest. If a person, you know, due to negligence, etc., opened a savings account and it accrued interest, what is his duty and responsibility first? We hear the ulama saying, you know what, take the interest and dispose of it. But we don't listen to the other part, where that savings account that's accruing interest, that thing must be shut down first. Transfer, open another savings account that does not accrue interest, take that interest and now dispose of it amongst the poor and needy without any intention of reward. That is haram wealth. That must be disposed of amongst the needy without any intention of reward. So the first thing is to change the account. Any interest accrued, dispose of it amongst the poor and needy. The brothers don't need to feel shy in asking the questions. They can ask, inshallah. The fathers will not take them to task for asking the questions.
جی امیر صاحب has posed the question for the benefit of the public. If a hafiz, a youngster, is leading the Taraweeh Salah, and during the Taraweeh Salah, his wudu breaks. So we know if a person is performing Salah, he has wudu, his Salah is valid until his wudu breaks. If his wudu breaks, he has to leave the Salah, and he has to make wudu and return to the Salah. So if the hafiz is standing on the musalla, wudu breaks, what does he do? Of course, he cannot continue with the Salah. But what can he do? With a small gesture, he will bring the hafiz behind him forward, and the hafiz that he brings forward will then continue from wherever he stopped. And he will complete the Salah in this way. There is no need to totally terminate the Salah, as in leave the Salah and make everyone start again from the beginning. He will continue by bringing the hafiz, or the one responsible behind him, forward. He will make his wudu and then he will join the Taraweeh Salah. A question here as well is, are my cousins regarded to be my mahrams? Now, December, everyone's going for Umrah. There are some people that want to go, some people that can't go. It might be mahram issue, whatever the case is. Now, for the youngsters, is it important to understand that your cousin, when we say cousin, we mean your father's brother's daughter, etc., those cousins, those are not your mahrams. In other words, when we say mahram, the mahram refers to a person prohibited in marriage. Mahram refers to a person prohibited in marriage. Now, the cousin is not prohibited to marry. So, the male cousin can marry the female cousin. There is no prohibition in that regard. Now, Shariat, look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a woman should not travel the distance of Safar unless she is accompanied by a mahram. So our cue is what? Our cue is the Quran Sharif and our cue is the Hadith. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said it to us. So she cannot travel the Safar distance without having a mahram. There's different wisdoms behind it. But at the end of the day, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it, we'll do it. The reasons given, of course, temptation and what have you, especially in this time and age. She cannot travel the Safar distance, 78 kilometers or more, without a mahram, without being accompanied by a mahram. So the one male cousin is going for Umrah. He cannot serve in the capacity of a mahram for his female cousin. She will have to have her brother, she will have to have her father, etc., travel as a mahram with her for Umrah, etc. Another question is, there one view or more than one view regarding eating of prawns? Now, as mentioned, we will eat that which is categorized as a fish. Now, in terms of scholarly views, there are different views regarding whether the prawns is a fish, whether it's not a fish. It's a detailed discussion. We leave that for the ulama. For you and I, when we always find two views. One says do it, the other says don't do it. What's the best option for us? The best option is to stay away. Since one is saying yes and the other is saying no, stay away, precaution. That is your taqwa. And that will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as far as possible, stay away from it. Another question received. Person is traveling for holiday or traveling for Umrah, and the time of Salah comes in. Person is on the plane, what does he do? Does he perform the Salah on the plane, or does he leave it for later on? So the ulama advise that because of the waqt and because of the time of Salah, so much emphasis on the time for Salah, when the time enters, etc. What does a person do? He'll make wudu and he'll perform his Salah on the plane. Why? Because of the time. What will he do afterwards? When he reaches his destination, he will make up the Salah. he will make up the salah after he's performed it on the plane. Okay, so there are different challenges. Person is on the plane, we see the attendance facilitate for place on the plane, etc. It becomes difficult. Sometimes it becomes an issue. One person is fighting with the attendant, becomes an issue. So when you know those facilities are not available, make arrangements with wudu, etc. and sit in your chair, perform it, and then as we said, when you reach your destination, you will repeat that salah. Ji. Ji. The question is, can we combine salahs? Now, in terms of combining salahs, it's more focused on combining the Zohar with the Asr salah and combining the Maghrib with the Isha salah. In the Quran al-Kareem, the verse is clear. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that every salat has its time. It has its time. Perform it in its time. If a person is traveling, however, and to stop all the time is difficult, what can he do? When it's close to the termination of the Zohar salah, read his Zohar salah. So let's say, for example, 5-10 minutes before the termination of the Zohar Salah, he will perform his 2 rakats, Zohar Salah, Qasar Salah, Safar Salah. And then after the time has terminated, the Asr Salah has entered, so stand up and perform his 2 rakats, Asr Salah. That is what we refer to as close combination of Salahs. So he is allowed to do it to that extent. Literal combining, that he cannot do. He can do close combination, but not literal combination of the salahs. The verse of the Quran al-Kareem is quite clear. But any other questions, inshallah, that can be sent to the fatwa email, fatwa@jamia.org.za. The brothers can call, the brothers can set up meetings, whatever the case is. The Jamiat office is open for anyone and everyone that has concerns. Inshallah, we'll try our level best to assist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said and guide us on the straight path. Ameen.
We say shukran jazakallah to Mufti Ismail Basa. There have been many other queries that have come in. We could not answer all the queries. Inshallah, as I said earlier, that these queries can be forwarded through to fatwa@jamia.org.za or mufti@jamia.org.za. Those are the email addresses, or you can phone in, come into the offices. There are many youth, as I said, that have many other queries. They have many concerns, confusion, doubts. Whatever other confusion and doubts, inshallah, the ulama do have answers for that. And we are always ready to engage with the youth. We are always ready to meet with the youth, to engage with the youth. And our concern nowadays is the youth. The reason why we're having this youth program is because of the youth. So obviously we want to engage, we want to try to assist the youth with whatever doubts they do have, and Islam has the answers, Shariat has the answers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always has the answers. So there's no such thing as, you know, we have these concerns and doubts and you know, there is no answers for them, there is always answers for them. So whatever other future queries, inshallah, can be forwarded to us at the Jamiat office, and you know, we are always ready to assist. Inshallah, Maulana Ridwan Sahib has arrived, and inshallah, Maulana will now be delivering a lecture, a talk, inshallah, and you know that will be till the end of the program, inshallah. This is the final item on the program. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq.